Matthew chapter 6, we're going to, the plan is to wind out the chapter this evening. And as we continue our theme, seek first the kingdom of God. We'll begin reading this evening in verse 31, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, once again we come to you thanking you for your word, praising you, Lord, for just the opportunity to open your word, the privilege to open your word. And Father, we often take for granted what a wonderful blessing it is to have your word and to be able to freely study and to know you. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd speak tonight. Speak through your word, that we may draw near to you and understand your desire for us. And Father, we pray your will be done in this service this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we open with the statement of the word, therefore. Of course, therefore refers to everything we've already covered, right? He's telling you why he's going to say from this point forward what he's going to say. And so he says, don't worry. Once again, restating what we covered this morning. Don't worry saying what we'll eat or what we'll drink or what we will wear. The reason is he points out something very eye-opening. If you just stop and take a look, he said, "For this is what the Gentiles seek." Now, the word Gentiles, you know, when we use it in the literal sense, that talks about us, right? But in this context, it's not talking about us. It's talking about the world of unbelievers, right? He said, and so he's very simply saying the world occupies their mind with trying to figure out what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear, how they can make money, how they can make a living. And the reason is you've got to ask yourself, well, why is that all they think about? That's all they know. That's all they know to think about. However, you and I are not that way. As believers, we're different. Bible describes us as a special people. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for us himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, that word special is not, when we say, well, you're special, that's not what it means. It means you really, really are special. It literally means belonging to oneself. And so it's right here that Jesus reaches out and grabs his listeners, his disciples, and telling them, you don't have to worry about these things because you are a special people or a people belonging to God and God alone. Now, when you understand, and we talked about being children of God this morning, but when you understand that you are a possession of God, that God really does care what happens to you and what's going on in your life and what's in store for your life, you begin to realize, hey, God does have my best interest in mind. Of course, Scripture comes to mind that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Then why do we have to worry? We don't have to worry, do we? God's on His throne. He's working all things together for good. And, And we don't have to be concerned with the things that everybody else is concerned with. Because our God, our Father, is very, very faithful. Right? And because we know that God is faithful, instead of thinking and occupying our minds and our time with all that stuff, let's call that junk because that's what it is, right? For the most part. Instead, we establish our priorities. Now, that's where he goes into verse 33. As he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when he says this, this is where we got to back up just a moment and take an honest inventory. God doesn't say, seek the things that you would like, or seek the things that you think would be better. As a matter of fact, not even close. This whole part, this whole chapter has been about laying self aside and coming to that point where we're able to say, God, you're first. That's what it means when it says seek first. It means that God is of the first and utmost important above and beyond anything else in our lives. For a disciple of Christ, the challenge is that my best effort and your best effort and my best energy be exercised toward God's kingdom. Now it's at this point we've got to ask ourselves, is that who we are? Is that what we are? How are we doing? It's really simple, as a matter of fact. There should be no competition, no question. There's no gray area, right? That God's first. And if God's first, that means the things of the kingdom of God come first. For example, do I tithe? Absolutely, there's no question. I tithe. Why? Because God expects it. Do I go to church? Absolutely, there's no question. I loved and I appreciate so much being raised in the home in which I was raised. There was no question. I never asked, are we going to church? Because my dad would have looked at me like I lost my mind. There was no question. And because there was no question, as a child, I just automatically got ready at church time, right? Do I go to church? Absolutely. Do I pray? Absolutely. There's not a question about that. How many of us would say, you know, my prayer life's not what it should be? Well, fix it. It's part of seeking the kingdom of God. You know, should I have a prayer life? Absolutely. Should I have a good prayer life? Absolutely. Do I spend time in the Word? Without question. There should be time every day that you get into the Word of God. Well, Brother Doug, I don't have time. No, your priorities are messed up. That's what this is all about. This is very simply living in a manner that reflects Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That's what it means to seek the kingdom first. You know, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what we need at Victory right now? At Victory, we've had a lot of new members over the last several years. And we also have a lot of children at Victory. And you know what those newest members and the children at Victory, they need to see? I can tell them Sunday after Sunday, seek first the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God. But what they need to see are examples of what seeking the kingdom of God looks like. You can tell your children all you want to tell your children, you know, God first, God first, God first. But if you as a parent do not put God first, they're not going to get it. If you'll notice, with each generation, we seem to be growing farther and farther away from God. And the reason is the examples are not being set. You know? And so I want to challenge, and I preach this to the Sunday night crew tonight, because I know y'all are the guys that'll do it, right? You're the ones that are seeking the kingdom of God. You're here, right? And so I want to challenge you. Since they need to see that, let's make a commitment tonight. you along with myself, to go out of our way to love even when it's hard to love. Let's go out of our way to be faithful even when it's difficult, when the temperature's terribly cold and you got to decide whether to come to church tonight. You do. You're here. Praise God you're setting that example. Because there are people here tonight that need to see that. You know, it's one thing to be told. It's another to be shown. We've got some folks at Victory, some good folks at Victory. I'm very blessed to pastor this church, and I'm very thankful for the membership here. But I want to remind myself, as well as all of us, let us have that zeal. You know, the scripture that I read just a moment ago, it talks about us being a special people and having a zeal for good works. It's so easy to lose that zeal. It's so easy to be satisfied. Oh, nobody else is doing anything, you know. Nobody else is being faithful. Nobody else is teaching. Nobody else coming to Sunday school. Nobody else doing these things. No, let us be. Let you and I make that commitment tonight that I'm going to be the example. That you're going to be the example. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I'm going to put the kingdom of God first and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why? Because I know it's beneficial. Yeah? It paid. You know that song, "It Pays to Serve Jesus"? It's an old song. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. I believe that. Listen, I love the Lord. I do. But there's a selfish side. I also know that it will be worth it to serve the Lord. Yeah? As a matter of fact, we're told that those that believe God must know that He's a rewarder of those who faithfully serve Him. And here's part of that faithfulness that God promises. And this is a promise. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added to you." You know what that word "all" means? It means all. It means everything. God's saying, if you will focus your mind and your heart on my kingdom, if you will focus your mind and heart on setting that example and seeking the kingdom of God, if you will take care of that, I will take care of you. What a wonderful promise, isn't it? As a matter of fact, I'm doing a little translation work there, and I realized that that is passive voice, meaning you're not required to take care of that. You're not required to feed yourself. You're not required to clothe yourself. You're not required to do all these things that Jesus has promised He'd do. Why? Because He will do it. Isn't that a great blessing to know that? That should take the worries away. Literally it says, He'll add everything to you. You be kingdom minded and let God take care of you. But notice this. It's also conditional. You say, "Conditional, Brother Doug?" Yes, conditional. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Okay? You have a requirement, and God has a requirement. You seek, and God will provide. Right? So let's flip that the other way around. Don't seek the kingdom of God. Don't seek His righteousness. Worry about the things of the world. Worry about making a living. Worry about making ends meet. Worry about doing everything you can do except seeking the kingdom of God. What's the result? God's not in it. You just take God out of the equation. Israel was really good at that, weren't they? You know, when they would be out in the wilderness and they'd get thirsty. "Oh, God, you know, we're thirsty. Why'd you bring us out here to kill us?" Or when they were hungry, "God, we're hungry. Why'd you bring us out here to kill us?" And everything, every time they turned another corner, it was like, how can we be unfaithful to God? And they paid the price for their lack of obedience. I think people are confused today. I think most people have the mentality that we can forget God, but when we need Him, we cry out and God comes running. That's not who God is. God's not Santa Claus, you know? Lord, I'm in trouble. Come get me. Whoa, wait. And I've even heard people, you know, whose life never reflects anything about God, and something happened and they get mad because God allowed it to happen. And I want to say, what do you expect? What do you expect? You know, I think it's pretty black and white, quite honestly. I think you're either a follower of Jesus Christ or you're not. I don't think there's supposed to be gray area. I think it's seek the kingdom of heaven or seek the kingdom of God or you don't. If you seek the king, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I'm going to take care of you. If you don't, Jesus says, you're on your own. I think there are a lot of people who have that unrealistic view of God, who experience the consequences of their disobedience and don't have a clue why. They say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't steal or kill or anything like that. No. Where does Jesus come in your life? You know, and I think we've got to ask this question. Where does God fit in? Actually, that's not a very good question because God's not supposed to fit into your life, right? He's supposed to be your life. And He's supposed to be my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's a promise. Okay? The construction of that, it's a statement of fact. That's why as children of God, we can... you know, we can even be facing some difficult times and we don't have to worry about it because He's got it. We just need to be sure God is first. Then we get to verse 34. Therefore, there's that word again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I think this goes just a step beyond about not being anxious about tomorrow, right? Even though I think that's what it means, I think it goes a little deeper than that. Yeah, we shouldn't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. But you know, we shouldn't hang everything we are on what's going to happen tomorrow either. This is what I mean. Have you ever been told to live in the present? Sometimes we get to thinking about what we're going to do later down the road that we forget the here and now. I hear people make comments all the time. Well, when I retire, I'm going to. What about today? What about the here and now? I think so many live for the future that sometimes we forget to live today. You know, there are things to be done today. There are blessings to be enjoyed today. And you know, if you're like me, it's funny, everybody I've talked to. How many complained about the weather today? I did. I have. I confess. But you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I have a responsibility, even though it's miserably cold outside, to seek God first. The reason I bring that up, I've made the comment, I can't wait until it gets warmer. Yeah, I can't wait till it gets warmer. Well, what about today? What about today? You know, even serve the Lord when it's bitter cold today. If it's bitter cold tomorrow, we'll serve Him tomorrow. If it warms up, glory, hallelujah, we'll serve Him in warmer weather, right? But you see what I'm saying. We get to living out here. Instead of here, where we are. And I'm going to apply that more broadly. You know, I mentioned this morning, about the building plans and the building offering that we're planning to receive next week. And you know, I'm excited. If you haven't seen those plans, it's going to be beautiful. It's a wonderful plan, and it will open up new doors of opportunity. It's great. But you know what? As a church, we're not there yet. Okay? We're not there yet. If we were there, the building would be built, and we'd be using it and filling the classes, you know? But we're not there yet. Where are we? We're here. There's a lot of ministry that needs to go on right here today and now. There are college students that need to be ministered to. Bless their heart, they're college students that we need to feed a couple times a week, you know? And there are children today in Sunday school classes who need to be taught. There's worship services today that need to honor God. There's preaching that needs to happen today. My point being, that's wonderful, and I encourage you, as I've done before, you know, pray and ask God to help you to be generous in giving to that, but also let's live for today, because we're not there yet. We're not even to next Sunday yet. We've got today, and if God blesses us, you know, with tomorrow, we'll have tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But be sure and seek God first, every one of those days. And if we'll do that as a church, if we will truly have that heart to God, I'm here today. You know, there are plans to do great things in the future, but Lord, I'm here today. I want to serve you right here where I am today, right now, in this very moment. I want you to be first. I want to seek your kingdom first and foremost. Folks, if we do that, if we do that and Jesus tarries his coming, we will get down here, right? We'll make it to down there. But we got to live today. And the way we live today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to us. Let us seek God where we are, the right here and the right now. Yeah. And if we do that, you know, if we do that, if we can do that in mind every day, my friends, the future of victory will be very, very bright. Your future will be very, very bright as a child of God. I don't know about you, but I want to grow as a child of God. I don't ever want to stay where I am. I want to, you know, every day be seeking God so that I can grow and be better. And if God gives me tomorrow, then I want to seek God again and grow tomorrow so I can be better the next day and the day after that. That's the challenge. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. It starts right here, right now, today, in this service tonight. Seek the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word and the reminder of your word. And Lord, there should be no competition. Sometimes this world calls hard, and it's very intrusive, and it makes demands. And sometimes we forget, Lord, that and we allow ourselves to worry and be caught up in things we don't have to worry about, because you've promised to take care of those things. So tonight, Lord, I pray that you will help us to reevaluate and to reestablish our priorities. That Heavenly Father, that you are the priority, period, no questions asked. That we may seek you first and before anything else, that you might receive honor and glory. Now as we come to this invitation, Lord, I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.